Hello, I'm Georgina Robinson.
And I'm Tom Deason.
Welcome to the Rugby World Cup Daily. Coming to you from Japan every day throughout the 2019 Rugby World Cup.
Hello and welcome, rugby fans. Back for another day of grinding away at the World Cup for the Daily Podcast for the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. My name's Tom Deason. As always, joined with Georgina Robinson. How are you, G?
Tommy, I'm great. You're sounding a little bit too world-weary for such a young pup. Spark up. We're just talking about your longevity and your freshness in the last one. Come on.
I'm good. I'm good for it.
What about a grind? It's not a grind. We're in a bar in downtown Tokyo. You're in a fancy hotel. We're having a glass of red, defying the muggy conditions outside, the top of 29 degrees. We're sweltering in. I mean, the players are sweltering in.
Of course, of course, of course.
Life's pretty good.
Our life is good. We're 4 weeks into the, or at least I am, 4 weeks over here, almost a month away. We're getting through. It's good.
Constant surprises from the Wallabies. Come
on. Always, always. Today's it. It's a Tuesday. And they had a team naming today for their game on Friday against Georgia. What were your major takeaways, G? You filed on that today? Rugby heaven?
Yeah, look, I've had a couple of... You know, I really listened to what Michael Checker said at the team naming here on Monday. So, obviously, the big picture is the selectors are starting Matt Tamua at 5'8 and Nick White at halfback, right? Which is the third different halves pairing they've used this World Cup. So, four games, three different half pairings.
No two similar, like back-to-back combos, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. And... first time Whitey and Pup have played at 9 and 10 in those particular jerseys, started together ever.
Yeah, right.
Despite careers that go back to like 2012-13 in the test environment. They've obviously played a lot as Brumbies and did very well there. That was the 10, you know, 9, 10, 12 when Lili Fano, you know, was there as well. So... they've done really well there, but so initially you go, there is no other team in the Rugby World Cup chopping and changing their halves combos like this, right? So obviously the journalists' questions of Michael Checker at the team naming were along those lines, you know, just trying to get inside his head or the selector's head and trying to figure out, because there's also been a lot of speculation about Christian Lilifano's health and whether he's fatigued. So we're trying to sort of sort speculation from fact. And anyway, and Michael Checker was happy to go into some detail on it all. He said, I know other teams are doing it differently and, you know, they're going for their best team and maybe just in this sort of last week before knockouts, resting guys out, like a direct sub out, but... you know, this is tournament style footy and we are really trying to, he basically said, for the last 4 years, I've been picking and sticking and we all know how that worked out.
Even Dana Halapetti said that that had been more a Michael Checker thing to have done from 16 to 18.
Exactly. So this time we've decided to keep competition alive, even in the knockouts. And he basically said, I think that's working pretty well. And the players, I mean, I asked Dane Halapetty about it, as you just said, and he said, yeah, I think it is working. It is bringing out the best in us. So, which then made me wonder, I think they will pick and stick for knockouts.
From the team they named today?
Yeah. If they get through, if they'll pick their best team for the quarters, and it will not necessarily be the team that wins against Georgia.
No, but it, you know, on that premise, yeah. It would be an easy swap to put Matt on the bench. Christian has been named on the bench for the Georgia game. A straight swap there, curtly ordained, depending on how you go. But aside from that, but then you got Jordan Patea as well, who's an interesting one. Like,
I reckon Jordan will start a quarter.
I hope so.
100%.
I really do.
I reckon that back line will, barring any injury, I reckon that's the back line. So either a Nick White Christian Lilifano halves combo or a Nick White, a Will Genia Christian Lilifano halves combo. Marika and Pattaya on the wings, Karevi O'Connor in the centres, and Kirtley Beale at fullback, I reckon that will be the back line.
Something that was mentioned today is the Reece Hodge issue too, which, you know, Reece Hodge's suspension came at a pretty bad time. Obviously, he didn't play the Wales game because it happened in the Fiji fixture. But then when you have two easier games going into a quarter final, that is just a free hit for guys to play well. Jordy Patea, not saying that he wouldn't have played well against a good team, but they're playing Uruguay and Georgia. It's a good time for these guys to score tries. You're going to look good against those sides, right? Now, when that is basically outside of training, all you have to go off, and that's what, you know, we see, what the punters see, you know, people are going to be calling for Jordy Patea to play that quarterfinal, you know, assuming that the Wallabies do get there, which they will. Reece May, and as Michael Checker said, unfortunately, as much as they went into bat for him, unfortunately, he's left himself open to other guys taking their chance. And that could be, you know, whichever way you look at it, it'd be a sad, not sad, but it'd be, you could feel a little for Reece if that is the case, that guys take their spot. And fair enough, that is just being, you know, a professional footy player, and that's the nature of good competition for spots. But the way it is with Marika certain to be there, Jordy Patea and Adam Ashley Cooper getting chances. Who knows? Dan Hallett-Petty as well, probably coming to the wing there when Jordy plays, I would expect, probably 60 minutes. They're probably likely to sort of go 40 against Uruguay, a little bit more against Georgia, and then maybe 80 for a quarter. Who knows?
For me, Hodgie's a little bit like Dane in that they're solid, versatile, reliable footballers for the most part. But Jordan Patea is like Michael Checker's kind of player. I mean, he'll be any coach's kind of player. Mm. But, like, I, you know, this is, for all intents and purposes, Michael Checker's last tournament. And I cannot see him doing anything other than going out his own way with a bang. Like, for me, this isn't Australia's World Cup to lose. Do you know what I mean? This is Australia's World Cup to pull something out of the bag, defy the critics and the doubters and all evidence to the contrary that they can do this. And you're not going to do it with Dane or Reece on the wing, I don't reckon. I reckon you are going to do it with a player no one has any experience with, has X factor, and a back line that has X factor. You know, Eddie, if it's an England-Australia quarterfinal, no doubt Eddie will have his blokes, his huge blokes, hammer Jordy Patea, and probably hammer Marika and Kirtley. But I don't know. I look at that team and I don't think, gee whiz, this is a team that has a good chance of winning. I think this team has a good chance of pulling something out of the bag, and I think you have your best chance of doing it is with Jordan Patea.
Hmm.
What do you reckon? Am I getting crazy in my
No, look, I think
dotage.
That's fair enough. There's a lot to like about Jordy, and it wouldn't surprise me they go down that route and have a gamble and do play him in the quarter, but we will see.
Wouldn't you want them to? Like, wouldn't you just say give the young guy a go?
You would, but then, you know, you could argue that, you know, in a big game, he's not playing Uruguay or Georgia against an England, and a number of these guys, Dane, Marika, have played England a lot. You know, does that make them far more...
And not often won.
They haven't, true, of course, you could argue that, but are they better placed to do so eventually and win for the first time in 7 appearances and when it actually matters? I'm not sure.
I know, and that is absolutely thinking with your head. I want Michael Checker to, I think, with his heart and his gut, and just go out all guns blazing. Like, because when you think about this, when you think about what the Wallabies are and what Australians want the Wallabies to be and what Michael Checker has always talked about the Wallabies being, it's creative, it's spirited. I'm not saying Dane and Reece aren't spirited, they're superb footballers, but it's that back line that could surprise you, and that for me is Karevi O'Connor midfield, Marika Patea. Wings. I wouldn't mind Kirtley coming off the bench, to be honest. I do think he is good at that when bodies fatigue. But
a guy called Israel as well, and it might have been handy, but Israel Free podcast. The other issue, not issue, just interesting thing is the back row, Michael Hooper has been rested. He'll, you know, assumingly play a similar amount of minutes to Pocock, who played about 30 against Uruguay. And Michael Checker was talking about the fact that you've got three guys really in Jack Dempsey, Pocock and Nicerani, given that Michael Hooper is assured to come back next week for a quarter final. There's two have to go into three. Now, Jack Dempsey, too, is starting again at six. Luke Antolakaloto not in the 23. Perhaps a sign that he is ahead in the pecking order. And, look, no doubt in the quarter final week, conversation will turn to that back row, whether playing Hooper and Pocock in a fair dinkum must-win game is still necessary. What do you think?
Yeah, Check said that it was basically Hooper will start in a quarter. Mm. Your captain's going to start, so it's the rest of them playing it off. I reckon Izzy Nicerani is an absolute first on the list, and I reckon it's then, you know, either Dempsey. I think it's either Dempsey or Lucan Salakai-Loto. I don't know that David Pocock is getting enough out of this tournament over the ball to warrant starting him with Hooper. I think you definitely need one of the other big boys in the back row with Issy. And I think that's a nice back row, Dempsey, Pocock and Nicerani for Georgia, who are going to be really physical. It could be attritional, but also, you know, maybe Poey can get some return over the ball. I like that for Georgia.
It would be.
I don't think he'll start in a quarter, but maybe he will.
Who's that, Pocock?
Yeah.
It'd be a big call outside of your games where they're clearly resting blokes, you know, your Samoas, and previously in history when they've, you know, like, example, the Georgia game when they're giving, you know, playing Michael on the bench. That's not because of selection, that's because of just monitoring him. But I don't think since the last World Cup that they have actually played Pocock in a full-strength side off the bench, you know, to be used in that way outside of a...
off the bench?
Mm.
Right.
He has played off the bench, but, like, you know, when he's coming back from injury or in a game against a lower-ranked team. So that would be, you know, they've always played together. They've always managed to find a way to play both of them together. So we'll see how that all pans out. But weather doesn't look too bad at the moment, G. But there's a bit of...
There's a shadow hanging over the Rugby World Cup at the moment. It's called Typhoon. Have we nailed down the pronunciation? We'll probably just have to call it Typhoon H.
Yeah, Gregor Townsend thought it was Typhoon Haggis, but I believe it is Hagibis.
Hagibis.
Yes.
Or Hajibis.
Hajibis, however you want to pronounce it. Look, it's a big...
it's a super typhoon, technically.
Yeah. According...
And it's our second, right? So to set the scene, we've had one before, and it basically veered off course or changed course and also melted away into just nothing too threatening for the Rugby World Cup. But this one, apparently, what's the word? It was
the Weather Network website is calling it the strongest storm anywhere in the world currently, and it could be the most destructive anywhere on Earth this year. They're like the meteorologists are just licking it up.
Time to get another drink, Tom. We may not make it home.
No, but seriously, as we record this on a Tuesday night, we're sitting here anticipating a statement from World Rugby or somewhat kind of update as to whether matches will be moved or potentially abandoned altogether, which could have massive ramifications for the pool placements, given that this is the last weekend of pool matches before the quarters next week. What do you think is likely going to be happening, if we have a guess at this point?
So we've both been sort of putting feelers out to contacts in different teams and in different spheres, and got some conflicting reports. The most convincing I've read, so apparently there are a few options. So a cancelling a match, when the last typhoon loomed, the scenario was the match will be cancelled and it'll be called a nil-all draw, 2 points awarded to each team.
Yep.
Right? So that's still an option now. A couple of media reports around on Monday from the Northern Hemisphere suggested there were contingencies being looked at for moving games or moving days.
And initially the typhoon was looking more to be in the south of Japan, right?
But which now is going to affect Oita and Fukuoka, that are the hosts of Ireland.
Yeah, so Wales, Uruguay is down in Kumamoto. And then also Ireland, Samoa in Fukuoka. So that's on the Sunday and the Saturday. But now it's looking like it's going to be more north up in Tokyo. So that would affect possibly...
And Yokohama.
Yes, and would affect England, France on Saturday and possibly Japan, Scotland as well. So huge... look, we tried to break it down today. I almost had a headache. Well, I did have a headache trying to do it, given that there's bonus points, etc. But sorry, continue what you were going to say.
Look, at the very least... I think we'll have some wet games at the weekend wherever it hits. That's certainly looking likely, which, you know, should favour Scotland against Japan. But the other thing I'm hearing sort of late on Monday is that for the games where a nil-all draw would have an impact on playoff spots, they're looking at moving venues. Okay. Potentially, and then for the games where it's not going to have an impact on playoff spots, a nil-all draw, that scenario, then it will just go by the book and be declared a nil-all draw, 2 points to each. But
we'll wait and see. But if we're being fair dinkum, New Zealand, Italy, if Italy win with a bonus point, that helps them. England, France, probably not as much, given that England and France are both qualified. Ireland, Samoa, definitely. Ireland need to win that basically to go through.
Because if it does. I mean, the Irish were really packing it overnight, because if it does hit the southern island of Kyushu and that Ireland Samoa game is declared a draw, that will effectively see Ireland exit the competition.
Yes, very, yeah, all but.
If all the other results
Scotland
fall
would have
as
to
you
win,
predict they will.
Yeah, Scotland would probably have to win both their games. They're going to beat Russia on Wednesday or whenever it is, but their last game against Japan on Sunday is crucial too, and Japan could spring an upset. So,
yeah. I mean, like, this is, whatever happens, this is an unprecedented situation in the history of Rugby World Cups.
Yep.
Like, the only other tournament I can think was affected in any way by a natural disaster was the New Zealand Rugby World Cup in 2011, when the earthquake struck Christchurch, you know, at the beginning of that year. That forced huge rethink. New cities had to take, I mean, it destroyed the stadium in Christchurch, which was obviously, apart from Eden Park, the absolute spiritual home of New Zealand rugby. So that was a huge headache, and that was 9 months out. This is huge. I mean, I don't envy being a decision maker in Rugby World Cup Limited. I am also told that at the end of the day, it's not Rugby World Cup's decision, because if there is a legitimate, like, clear and present danger of a typhoon hitting of that magnitude, the city shuts down.
Yeah, it's fair dinkum, like, dangerous. This isn't just tiddlywink stuff, like, but
so if you're a decision maker, your concern is not whether Ireland are going to be a nation of 4.5 million people are going to be going after you with pitchforks for forcing their team, who lost to Japan anyway, out of the competition. Your concern is going to be the welfare of the community, the players,
yep,
the fans that are over here.
Yeah. And just quickly before we move on, the other aspect, you know, with teams moving logistically, imagine being a fan.
Yeah.
Like, imagine being an Ireland fan. You spent a lot of money to come to Japan. You want to watch the Samoa game in Fukuoka, and then World Rugby, possibly. We don't know this at this stage, and we'll have updates as they come to hand. But to move to another part of the country, hotels, flights, all that, like, it's so much more than just saying, oh, we're going to pack up and move and it's all good as gold. Like, ticketing... people might not
accommodation.
Want those tickets. Oh, like, yeah.
I mean, Japan's a bit of a command and control country. Decisions are made from on high, and people respect authority. But this would be the greatest ever test of that kind of top down hierarchical system. Whether you could ask a bunch of hoteliers and guest house owners in Fukuoka to cop it sweet. While you move a game and their guests to the other side of the country. I mean, come on down, Kamashi. Maybe we go back right up to the north again and have a look at it there. It's really interesting. We are providing updates sort of as it happens on this, because while Australia, you know, don't seem to be directly in the firing line. In fact, a cancelled game could potentially give them an easier quarterfinal. It's a huge issue for the Rugby World Cup. And so we're on rugbyheaven.com.au. Tommy Decent will be filing updates as it happens, although he may be on a day off on Wednesday, so it could be the G-Rod show on the Typhoon Watch. But this isn't tiddlywinks, this one. As you said, this one could come to pass. Will be awesome. Interesting anyway.
Yeah, it will. What else?
Anything else happening? Oh, look.
Yeah, what did you wrote about a...
Well, off the back of my interview with Greg Peterson from the USA Eagles the other day, and we got some great feedback, thanks to the listener who downloaded it on the Shinkansen and then found himself sitting next to Greg Peterson. Thanks, Ian. You're a legend. Thanks for writing in and thanks for listening. I had a bit of a look at some of the other Aussies doing well in the World Cup, like playing or helping out other teams.
There's a few of them.
There's so many. We've sort of singled out Ben Vollavola because he's another Waratahs reject like Greg Peterson. He's doing pretty well for himself on a number of fronts. You can read about that in the Sydney Morning Herald or The Age or the Canberra Times or Brisbane Times, WA Today, on Wednesday.
Good plugging.
Good plugging. Strong plugging form. And we've listed all the other Aussies that we could think of on deadline who are rolling around the World Cup. Support staff, assistant coaches. If we've missed people out, please let us know.
Yeah, holler at us.
At grob, at Tom Decent on Twitter, and ge.robinson@smh.com.au. I wouldn't want to get anyone or miss anyone out intentionally, and I'm sure I already have. But, you know, you reminded me of Chris Latham, an assistant coach, World Cup winning Wallaby assistant coach. It's for Samoa, Todd Ikefu, I've already interviewed, head coach at Tonga.
Scott Wisemantle in England.
Matt Taylor, the Aussie defence coach for Scotland.
Yeah.
Potentially coming home in the next few months, I don't know.
Ooh, watch this space.
Watch this space. So, yeah, that's a great story. It's always great to see Aussies doing well abroad.
G-Rob, it's always a pleasure.
That's the wind-up, hey? I feel like an Oscar winner. I've just been given the wind-up.
Look, I'm the timekeeper, and it is time to go for a glass of red. But, yeah, we'll keep you up to date with all the typhoon dramas.
Typhoon news and views.
And we will stay safe, of course, but also be following on it.
Exactly.
It could be a challenge.
Exactly. Thanks. Pleasure as always, everyone.
Ciao.
See ya.